Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for December 11th, 2012. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the energy market with Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. In agricultural news, the U.S. and EU are in very preliminary discussions that could result in a new free trade agreement. We'll have that and other stories this half hour. Todd Gleason will be by with another in our series on defining marketing terms. And Don Day will have agricultural weather. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Here are your last trades for this Tuesday afternoon in Kansas City. December wheat, 866 and three quarters, down 23 and a quarter. December wheat in Chicago, 801 and three quarters, down 31. March, 821 and a half, down 27 and a quarter. December corn, 724 and three quarters, down 2. March, 728 and a quarter, down 1 and three quarters. May, 730 and a half, down 1 and three quarters. July, 726 and a half, down 4 and a half. December 13 at 627 and three quarters, down 9. January soybeans, 1471, down 3 and three quarters. March, 1470 and a quarter, down 5 and a quarter. July, 1445 and a quarter, down 6 and a quarter. November 13, 1320 and three quarters, down 13 and three quarters. December soybean meal, 454.60 up to 20. December soybean oil, 49.89 down 94. December live cattle, 126.52 and a half up 92 and a half. January feeders, 151.80 up 202 and a half. And December lean hogs are 81.97 and a half, and they are down 17 and a half. And those are your last trades this Tuesday afternoon in Chicago and Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says that precipitation events in the U.S. will be most significant to the east of the plains during the next 2 weeks. This will continue to provide opportunity for improving soil moisture and runoff potential east of the Mississippi River Basin. Snow cover is widespread now in the northern U.S. plains and Canada's prairies, protecting some of the poorly established winter wheat in the region from harsh weather. Argentina will experience net drying for the next 3 or 4 days. Showers and thunderstorms will develop during the weekend and continue through early next week, slowing field work once again and making crop areas in the east, especially northeast, a little too wet. Brazil will see routinely occurring rain and thunderstorms through the next 10 days. Northeastern parts of the nation will be driest this work week, but all areas will be impacted eventually, and sufficient amounts will occur to support this year's crops. Some locations, from center south Brazil to southern Paraguay, may become too wet by this time next week.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
The story today seems to be all about wheat and what wheat did in the other pits.
Yeah, I think that, the only number that was very much different or totally unexpected out of the report this morning basically was in the wheat pit, and they were expecting it to shrink, and it grew. And we had a lot of people, leaning the wrong way on that one.
Well, should we take offense at USDA lowering the exports by another 50 million bushels?
Well, we have been out of the market as such. Our wheat exports have been pathetic. Our corn exports have been pathetic. We have a lot of people, the bulls, talking about how we will get back in favor soon, and Australia's numbers, down basically, and they'll be running out of wheat here soon. And Russia was thought to, or their Ukraine was thought to have been, wouldn't be continuing to export at this point in time and whatever. So, are they right or are they wrong? We do know we have a very dire moisture problem out west, and some of the crop not looking good there. But as far as the exports for this year, USDA is probably right on.
And probably if wheat didn't collapse to the degree it did, corn might have even finished in positive territory.
We would have saw green numbers on the board in both the corn and the beans if it hadn't been for the wheat being so heavy. This is a terrible day, but, this is the lowest level we've seen wheat since July 11th. The announcements in the beans, probably 3 to 5 cargoes of beans booked to China in the last 24 hours. And we saw that corn-wheat basis come in about $1 today.
So the question now becomes, does wheat turn sideways? Or technically speaking, if you look at it, you pick a level because it went straight up at the levels that we're looking at.
We did just shoot straight up, and it's awful hard to find a place of support or consolidation here along the way like that. I'm just guessing here the December wheat down around $8. It's probably going to find some support at $8. Now, if it breaks $8, but psychologically, even dollars are places where we find support.
Meanwhile, you look at the corn charts, and you think, well, we are trading still sideways in the long channel that we had all the way back into last year.
Oh, very true. I mean, basically, we were able to, keep that March corn above, the March corn above 720 today, and I think that's going to be very important to watch the rest of the week to see that we keep that March above 720 level.
So do we look for sort of a sideways, choppy trade in all of the picks moving forward into the end of the year?
Well, that would be my assumption as of right now. But, we've got the big financial cliff out there hanging, not knowing how and what's going to be. And if we don't get something done, we could ease off a little bit on the risk off the table type attitude in the greens if it doesn't look like something's going to get done to solve things that way. A lot of talk, a lot of people trying to throw things around, wanting to cut the farm bill more and see bigger cuts come out of it, and a lot of crazy things happening out here. And the last thing we need is our farm bill getting cut a whole lot more than what the talk has been so far.
Seems to me right now of the three commodities, if you wanted to make a bullish argument based on the ending stocks from the report today, based on ideas that Argentina is going to eventually maybe have some problems because of the wet issues and replants down there going on, that, and then looking technically at the charts, and we hung tough with the 50-day moving average, the short-term uptrend line, a Fibonacci number at 61%, that you could make a case for soybeans still making higher highs, maybe even going above $15.
Well, as we look here, we said China back in the market for 3 to 5 cargoes. The Chinese soy product prices have risen sharply in the past few days. That rise has pushed the crush margins to the best levels in nearly a year over there. And if they're continuing to buy, they're shipping. They are really front-loaded with their purchases, keeping us, online for what the government projections are, and they're taking it and shipping them fast. And once they're shipped out, it's hard to cancel.
And it does seem to be going against the grain, because they were signaling fourth quarter was going to be, they were going to pull back on exports, but at least it doesn't appear that they're doing that.
Doesn't appear that way with what we're doing. And like you say, with their crush margins at the best levels in nearly a year, why we don't look for them to be pulling back anywhere soon.
I suppose we ought to bring some outside discussion into this. And the big one that's looming tomorrow is OPEC meeting, and whenever they get together, who knows what's going to happen next.
That's sort of like our Fed when they meet. We're not quite sure, but we're generally sure it's not going to be something really good. But, you know, basically the last 3 days on the news, the headlines have all been gas prices moving lower and look to move lower into Christmas. So, you know, we saw a lot of gas on the best place in town on TV stations showing down in that 320, the 318 mark and like that. So if we'd get down back to $3 gas rather than up there pushing $4, it would sure help a lot of people's pocketbook.
It does appear that a few of the OPEC nations are not happy with the futures hanging out where they are and moving essentially sideways in the 80s.
Well, you know, when you're trying to sell, you're not happy with low numbers. If you're trying to buy, we're thrilled to death.
And we will see if they cut back production at all tomorrow.
It's a good possibility.
What else are we keeping an eye on the balance of the week now that we have the WASDE out of the
numbers,
way?
Yeah. Well, we're going to be watching Washington very close, Dave. We're going to see if there's any signs of compromise or you know, hopefully some solution rather than just kicking the can down the road. We're going to be watching, you know, the weather seems to be a little bit better for South America, but we're going to be watching to see if they can pick up some moisture out west in some of these wheat areas that really need some moisture. So weather forecasts in Washington, D.C. are our main focus this rest of the week.
Thank you much, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development says that the growth paths of the world's leading economies are set to part in coming months, with signs of a pickup in the U.S. and the United Kingdom, slowdowns in Canada and Russia, and deepening recession in the Eurozone and Japan. The OECD says a number of economies will slow further in coming months, including those of Germany and France, the biggest in the Eurozone, and possibly Brazil. An environmental working group study released yesterday says that Iowa has been unable to clean its waters by using voluntary conservation measures, and points to state data to make the case to revamp voluntary conservation programs and apply targeted regulation. Iowa Agriculture Secretary Bill Northey last week said if farmers don't step up voluntary conservation, EPA will force the state's hand through regulation. The EWG analysis found nitrogen and phosphorus were the primary pollutants. The EWG analysis looked at data as far back as 1999 and found no evidence that Iowa's water quality had improved. The Brazilian government plans to send representatives to its 20 biggest trading partners to explain the details of a case of a cow that died 2 years ago in the country, with tests later indicating the presence of mad cow disease. Brazil is one of the world's biggest beef exporters. The Japanese government immediately banned imports of Brazilian beef. U.S. and European officials are contemplating a dramatic change in direction on trade. They want to join together in what could be the world's largest free trade pact to boost their struggling economies. Discussions are in the most preliminary of stages. Both sides are now awaiting a report by a working group they appointed to study the issue. The report is expected within weeks. A positive recommendation could lead to negotiations early next year. Food prices in China rose in the week to Sunday. Wholesale vegetable prices rose 5.5%. Wholesale pork prices, a major indicator of inflation, rose 1.9% from the previous week. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Up next, our winter marketing term series. Here's Todd Gleason.
It's time to define a marketing term. Commodity broker, analyst, and author of Mastering the Grain Markets, Elaine Cubb, joins us. She believes the key to profitable grain trading is building knowledge about the fundamental practices of the industry. Today, she helps us define the word carry. Here's one definition. Carrying charge is the cost of owning and storing a commodity during a period of time. The cost influences the difference between the futures price and the expected futures spot price.
Carry can also be thought of as the futures spreads throughout time, but they don't have to be future spreads. It could be in the cash market. Carry is the difference between the price now and the price later. Let's call it that way. So ordinarily, the price later will be higher than the price now because the grain markets tend to reimburse people who own grain and who store grain. They reimburse them those storage costs to keep, you know, an ample amount of grain or our inventories of grain from all flooding the market all at once. So there's built-in motivation usually for people to store grain because they will receive a slightly higher price for it later. That's carry.
And then how do you use carry when you couple it with another term, forward time frame?
Yeah, so all right, let's say you've got grain in a bin right now, and let's say there was carry in the market, because this is actually, this has been a number of odd years. Right now, the corn market and the soybean market in particular, is inverted, which is the opposite of carry, which means that actually forward prices are lower than the prices that we see right now. But ordinarily, let's pretend that we are in an ordinary situation where there is carry in the markets and there's motivations to store it. How do you know how long to store it? That's where carry comes in, is when you're calculating which forward time frame to use or which to plan on selling. And the way you do that is you figure out what does it really cost you to store grain for a month. And if the cash prices that you will receive 3 months from now do at least reimburse you for storing it those 3 months, or preferably pay you more than storing it for those 3 months, you know, pay you a good chunk of that what it actually costs you, then that's when you decide to capture that carry and hold on to it for that time frame.
And the cost would include the storage cost or what you might be paying the elevator to store, what you might be paying yourself if you have your own bin to store, and would include a time or interest payment as well on the money?
Exactly. You're right. If farmers are paying a specific storage rate per month to an elevator, then that's very easy to know. You know, they're charging you 6 months a month. If you're an elevator or if you yourself are storing this in bins, then yeah, you have to sit down and figure out what are your physical costs. What do you have to pay everybody to do this? Your insurance costs, like you say, the interest costs of deferring that income for a few months. That is a sort of hidden cost, but it certainly is calculated in. Particularly the big grain companies that are storing billions and billions of bushels. This adds up. Little bits and pieces of carry add up, and that's how they make a majority of their profits most years.
That's commodity broker, analyst, and author of Mastering the Grain Markets, Elaine Cubb. Today she helped us define the word carry. A carrying charge, again, is the cost of owning and storing a commodity during a period of time. The cost influences the difference between the futures price and the expected spot month futures price. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us for our look at the energy markets is Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon, Dave.
The big story for energies, I suppose, this week is that OPEC is meeting tomorrow, and who knows exactly what they may do.
Well, I think there is a general consensus that they're not going to do much. Saudi Arabia has been holding pretty much all the cards for quite some time. They've been unwilling to really restrain their production to any degree, I think for a couple different reasons. One, their own internal economics necessitates them coming up with the revenues. They don't want to lose market share. They also recognize that demand certainly is being affected by alternative sources of demand, which is in a price-rich environment certainly hurts the demand for crude. And also, I think certainly some other factors in terms of Iraq and the like all are contributing to them maintaining policy as is.
Well, then they wouldn't change production much, and would we anticipate futures to continue to move sideways as they've done since the last of October?
Well, I've been trying to maintain a kind of bearish attitude toward these markets as prices moved, up toward that 195 area. And, I'm becoming more and more actually bearish as time wears on. You look at some of the numbers in terms of production levels this year, you're looking at 90.7 million barrels being produced per day. That's up considerably from the 88.4 million barrels in 2011. With some of the changes in Iraq and given even with the problems with Iran and some of their production cutbacks, you're still producing crude oil. And price, as we've seen in the past in many markets, certainly prompts changes and adjustments that can have a longer-term impact.
Well, I know that we're in the bottom of this channel, just above $84. And gee, if we were to break in on a settlement basis, we could see $78 oil. I mean, we gained $6 in one day back in June.
Yes, and certainly I think the potential is there to get down towards 78. It might not come quickly, but be in increments on the downside. But you're seeing a lot of weakness in terms of the gasoline, in terms of the cracks. I think all those factors certainly do point toward a lower market price. And I think we've come to get used to prices moving higher and have taken actions toward that aim. At this point, I'm a lot more conservative in terms of my hedging strategies and placing hedges, that the downside risk could be certainly more substantial than what we have on the upside.
A few seconds about natural gas before we let you go.
Well, the nat gas market has certainly been a big performer this year. I do think it does have a lot of potential in terms of filling in for crude oil in many applications, and we've seen that start to happen, and it will continue to happen on the power side as supply availability pretty much increases.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. National Noodle Ring Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1874, James Lewis Kraft was born. A Canadian-born inventor, he discovered a pasteurizing process for cheese. And in 1903, he founded the Kraft Company in Chicago. In 1916, Kraft patented a processed cheese formula based on milk solids that would not spoil. He called it American cheese. The general public found it bland, but Kraft remained undaunted. He took the formula to the U.S. Army and sold them 6 million pounds of the product. In 1941, Frank Conrad died. He is generally regarded as creator of radio shows. One day, while transmitting from his garage amateur station, he substituted a record player for his microphone. And soon he heard from large numbers of listeners tuning in with crystal sets clamoring for more music and news. When swamped with requests, he decided to air regularly scheduled programs, and he coined the term broadcast. In 1952, William Dampier died, a British scientist, agriculturalist, and science historian. He developed a method of extracting milk sugar from surplus whey. The process was put to use on a commercial scale during the cheese shortage of World War I. He was also knighted in 1931 for his public service in agriculture. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
I hope that you can help us because we are hearing now about the ideas that in the Central Plains, because of the temperature variance below and above freezing, that there is some heaving conditions that have been going on with the winter wheat crop. What can you tell us?
Well, you know, certainly as warm as it's been for the start of the winter, that is certainly a possibility. And the trend in the weather pattern, which is looking more unsettled and colder, brings both good news and bad news to those areas. Good news is some of the winter wheat areas, some of those southern plains may actually have got some chances for precipitation, but with that will come some colder temperatures, which, of course, would be a concern if it gets too cold.
Now, usually when you hear about heaving conditions, it happens because the ground is wet, and that's not the case.
No, not at all. Some folks wish that was the case, but there are no what I would call wet areas anywhere where those conditions are being reported right now. It's exactly the opposite.
In fact, if there's any precipitation to be reported, I suppose it would be east of the plains over the next few weeks.
Well, yeah, I think one thing I'll give folks a heads up on is that we are looking at a very active weather pattern and a forecast pattern, especially in the long term, that's going to change almost daily. Buy into your three-day forecast, 5 or 6 days out, expect a lot of variability. We're going to see the Pacific churn out a lot of small storms that will traverse the country, and occasionally one of these smaller systems could blow up and turn into something big. So you'll want to stay on your toes, especially when it comes to winter weather in the Midwest. I do think between now and Christmas we've got some opportunities for some winter storms.
What's prompting that activity?
Well, a change in the pattern. This was a change we talked a little bit last week out in the Pacific. A pattern that was sort of holding everything up in the Pacific has cut loose. So Pacific storms, instead of just stalling on the West Coast, are now coming inland, and as they come inland, they're going to occasionally grab some Canadian air and pull that colder air in.
Let's turn our attention then to South America, where Brazil, same old, occasional storms, thunderstorms over the next 10 days?
Yeah, you know, I would say for the most part, I think we could talk about maybe some drier conditions developing in Argentina, but overall, key growing areas of South America really look good, favorable for continued good crop development. Not too hot, not too cold. I think we call this the Goldilocks forecast.
Could it be, though, that maybe a few isolated places, and I'm thinking southern Paraguay, may become too wet?
Well, certainly that's a concern, although right now I would say that that'll be something that needs to be watched, especially here in the short term. Paraguay is one area that could be looking at some significant rains, especially in some of those heavier thunderstorms.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.